Part 4, Companions. Swami Matavananda's operation had resulted in a slight impairment of the cerebellum, which houses the sense of balance. The task of his recovery now lay before the patient, his nurses, therapist, host, and attendant. Every factor was taken into account. Countess Colloredo Mansfeld, Swami sometimes called her by her given name, Mabel, was a woman of New England with the charm and manners of a graduate of an aristocratic college. She had married a member of the old Austrian nobility, so was connected with the Habsburgs. The young man had given his life in the war and left her with two children, now grown. There was an air of European sophistication about her, perhaps. Yet her basic simplicity and absence of any self-importance were obvious and spiritually exemplary. Countess dealt with each of us with friendly solicitude, courtesy, and gentility. Her placid countenance would be ruffled only by the humor of Swami Nityananda's reiterated jibe, quoting Oscar Wilde. He would say, "Countess, you know," he would tell anyone in her presence, "can resist anything except temptation." She had her apartment renovated during our patient's hospitalization, had moved to a hotel, and now invited Swami Matavananda and me to occupy her quarters. The reason being that the house had a lift, as they called it in England, saving him the trouble of stairs. It was so announced to our convalescent. "1 week," Swami said to the figure on the hospital bed. "The doctors say about 1 week and you go there. So better make up your mind to it, as you will have to be ready, you know." "Tell the old man," was his summary reply, referring to Sri Ramakrishna. His eyes and his teeth were giving him trouble, as everyone knew, but these repairs would have to wait until fall, for we were all going out of the hot city for the summer. The move was duly made, and from that apartment we took our daily walks, accompanied occasionally by Swami Nityananda. One morning, the latter, using every argument conceivable, finally persuaded Swami Matavananda to vary his customary route into the park by returning in such a way as to pass the center on 94th Street. That house displays two flags hanging high out over the sidewalk, that of the United States, and a white one bearing the seal of the order and name of the center. As we approached the building, Swami remarked with a pardonable pride of a boy showing his favorite toy, "Now, is that not nice? Seeing our flag flying there on the front of the house?" "Hmph," snorted the other, "advertising." It was a Peanuts cartoon. It was now late in June. City temperatures were 88 Fahrenheit and going up, and it was humid. The patient was making rapid progress. Plans went ahead for the move to Thousand Island Park, the center's summer retreat on the St. Lawrence River at the very northern edge of the state. Everyone now had to be busily engaged. Swami Bhutananda, a little older than I, had a good physique and could be counted on to help in various ways. A studious and quiet Indian, who spent most of his time in his room. He often served in wiping dishes and was good for jolly camaraderie, especially on walks in Central Park. It surprised me that he too had a health problem, an old injury to his knee or leg. I once mustered the nerve to mumble something to Swami Nikilananda about the number of times his assistant had been replaced. He rose to the occasion. "Yes," he said, "I have trained many a man and sent him on to better things." Swami Atmaghanananda, or Moffat, was older, early 50s at the time, but a real live wire. He could be up and down and all over the house in a jiffy. A published poet, Atlantic Monthly and so on, and 2 volumes of verse. He shared the verbal and literary expertise of his guru, with whom he had lived for many years. He was Swami's right arm. Moffat's taste in music, classical and highly refined, revealed itself at the services on Sunday morning, as he sat at the piano in the back of the auditorium, performing Frescobaldi and the like, in a most professional manner. Now he had gone ahead to the Vivekananda cottage at the park to make preparations and to plant some flower sets in the little garden so that our summer stay would be graced with blooms.